is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, today I want to talk about what's going on in the economic field. We're going to have with us in just a moment Mr. Carl Grunwald, who certainly we have on a regular basis. He does support Radio Liberty, and we support him. We think he does a good job. But, you know, when I got started in this whole quest for understanding of what's going on, it was 44 years ago, 1962. And at that time, there was a man they talked about. His name was Richard Russell. He was already sort of a tradition, sort of an icon, and a man who was an economic advisor, an economic consultant, sort of an economic guru at that time, 44 years ago. Well, Richard Russell's still around today. He's in his 80s. And he's been writing a lot about what's going on economically. He's certainly, you will actually see up on the Dow Jones when they talk about the Russell, Richard Russell index of stocks. And I think most people realize that from the point of view of being a good economist and understanding what's happening to our economy, there's nobody who's more sound. And certainly he points out that today in America about 90% of the wealth of this country is controlled by about 10% of the people, and the other 90% control 10% of the wealth of this country. And so you're moving increasingly towards a two-tiered society. And he feels that we are in the brink of a very definite economic collapse. And if you listen to Professor Joe Stiglitz, Professor Stiglitz has his Nobel Prize in economics. We've read his books, followed him for some time. I think he's probably the finest economist we have. And he says that we have an excellent chance within the next year or two of having a complete collapse of the world economy unless things are handled properly, and he sees no evidence that it is handled properly. We're told that the economy is strong. We've got, you know, low employment, unemployment. We've got a good gross domestic product, and I would like to suggest that they're lying to us. Unemployment is probably twice what they're telling us. The inflation is probably two or three times what we're being told. The gross domestic product is not anywhere near as strong as we're led to believe. The debt is growing at the rate of about $4 trillion a year. Now, that is the total debt. And I can remember when I put out my financial tsunami syllabus, the debt of this country was about $40 trillion. That's the government debt, state debt, personal debt, car debt, housing debt, and it's been going up at the rate of about $4 trillion a year. How long could you continue doing that? Everything is built upon debt, a mountain of debt. And sooner or later, why, this is going to get into trouble. Paul Volcker and Robert Rubin, both excellent economists, have said that this cannot continue for long, and they're advocating getting out of the dollar. They think the dollar is in real trouble. But you're not going to hear this over your evening news. Well, that is the background. We've got Cal Grunwald with us. And hi, Cal. How are you doing tonight?
Very good, Dr. Stan. Glad to be here again.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And you've put together some interesting information. I'm going to think we're going to take about 3 minutes before we get to that because I want to have all of our stations back on again. So I'm going to just get your commentary on what I was just saying. In fact, it's Richard Russell, Joe Stiglitz, or I might comment that the chief economist for Morgan Stanley here in the United States says we've got a 50 to 80% chance of moving into a recession within the next year or so. So certainly many, many of the experts think we're on the brink of something big, and we're going to get Cal's thoughts on that right now.
Well, again, I can certainly echo that. I was just reading an article which quoted Paul Volcker, the former Federal Reserve Chairman, as saying that the twin U.S. deficits threaten to undermine the U.S. dollar within the next 2.5 years, and also Robert Rubin was there echoing those very thoughts. So these are the big people in the country, the big financial people, and they're telling us within 2.5 years our dollar will pretty much be no more, and I don't think there's anything we can really say to that except yes.
I really think that the great tragedy is that people don't understand that there are consequences for irresponsible financial actions. We've been living very, very well. No, if you go to other countries, why, nobody lives as well as we do. Maybe in Switzerland and some of the Scandinavian countries. But we've been carrying the debt of the whole world. We are funneling billions of dollars into countries all throughout the world. And certainly now, with this burden of the war in the Middle East, and when they, of course, they tell you that, you know, we're just doing so well with our debt, they don't tell you that when they tell you how much the debt was, the national debt this year was, that they ignore completely the cost of the war in the Middle East. And they're ignoring completely all the money that they're stealing from Social Security and Medicare. There is no Social Security fund. There is no Medicare fund. And if you haven't started to get your money out of Social Security at the present time, why, do not really plan on there being anything there. Or the money that you get out may very well, you may get $1,000 a month, but it may cost $1,000 a month for 2 loaves of bread as well. People don't understand what happens with irresponsible financial management, and we've had irresponsible financial management for a long time. We've been living fine, but the day of reckoning is coming very soon. Go ahead, Cal.
Well, that's very, very true. Probably the biggest force we have right now, or the biggest disaster, which is in the process of happening, is the crashing housing bubble. And as I mentioned last time on the show, I've got a contractor, a good friend of mine, who builds in Minneapolis, and he said the bottom is just literally falling out. There's no work there anymore. And this is being echoed pretty much all around the country. And of course, the housing market is what's been sustaining our economy for the last several years, and everybody around the country is saying the same thing. The housing bubble is crashing, the market's crashing, and that's been fueling the economy. And our economy is 70% consumption, and that consumption has just been it's feeding on.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Kevin. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Cal Grunwald. Cal, go right ahead with what you were saying. Cal has just been saying that the housing bubble has been fueling this tremendous bubble we've had for a long time, but now that bubble is beginning to deflate, and what will we depend upon? Can they keep this going just by pumping out more credit? They're pumping out 12 to 14% a year right now, but how long can you do that and maintain the stability of our dollar? Go ahead.
Well, again, there's people have been taking home equity loans for the last several years, while interest rates have been very low, and of course that's encouraged it. But now, just about everybody in the country is done spending their house, as one person put it. And when you're done spending your house, you have nothing except an expanded debt to pay off, and you don't have a job to do it with. So it's headed for a dead end very, very fast here.
Well, I share your concern about that, and I think it's so important that people understand that, there are consequences for fiscal irresponsibility, and the stability of a society is dependent upon the stability of the currency. And our currency has no gold backing. All it really has behind it is the integrity and responsibility of the current administration. And, if you look and see what the confidence rate in our current administration, it's down around 31%. So go right ahead there, Cal.
Well, I would say even that is an inflated number.
Okay.
Again, if it's based on the integrity of the responsibility of our government, we're in huge trouble. So it's a matter of what people can do individually to take control of their own destiny, if you will, or their own wealth. And I was talking to a lady today, and in fact, she was reading a document that I sent in my information package called the Emergency Banking Order. which is a document that everybody should read because it's what's coming. You know, it basically just, you know, the government is, whenever they want to, they're going to tell the banks and financial institutions to close their doors, and then nobody has anything to say about it. And, of course, it's the government's plan to rob everybody's wealth, and it's very simple for them to do it because they have everybody's wealth behind their financial doors. People just don't, they don't have it today. They don't know what real money is. Of course, it's gold and silver and other commodities that have value and always will. But the government has, you know, deceived people into believing that it's the green ink on our dollars, and it's, you know, money markets and it's CDs and it's all these paper instruments, but that's not real money. And of course history tells us that, but nobody knows history these days, so it's just like talking to a wall in most cases. So I was talking to this lady and she said, you know, reading this document is just really an eye opener. It just makes me want to take all my money out of the bank and, you know, have it in my hand. I said, well, that's what it's supposed to do, and that's what you're supposed to do, unless you want to be a victim of the system. So this is a reality, but most people are not awake to reality, and that's what I try to do with my information packages, is present these things in a logical way so people can, you know, make a reasoned decision with their own wealth and have something to do with their own, determining their own destiny.
Well, I certainly think that we're in for some very, very difficult times, and I think that so often, for instance, international wars are used as a distraction from what's going on at home. Certainly the war over in the Middle East, I mean, could not have been handled more poorly. We have never allowed the military over there to do what they wanted to. We had Donald Rumsfeld, who never provided the troops, or allowed our military to do what you really needed to do. Our government, on one hand, is financing, you know, Pakistan, which finances their intelligence, the ISI, which funds the Taliban, that comes across the border from Pakistan into Afghanistan and kills American and now the NATO troops there. And the military can't do anything about the fact that we are giving haven to the Taliban in Pakistan, just like we gave haven to the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War. We were never allowed to go after the people who are really funding the North Vietnamese, and we're not allowed to go after the people who are funding and arming the insurgents in Iraq and certainly the Taliban in Afghanistan. And they've consistently refused to allow our military to do what needed to be done, and one of them would be to take out, I mean, these armies, the Mahdi's army over in Iraq. I mean, how can you have a separate army over there that is full of people who are involved in death squads and then expect to have any sort of stability? I mean, you're going to conquer a country, and I don't think we should have gone in initially, but had the military been allowed to do what they wanted to do, we would not be in the mess we're in today. But if the military had solved the problem, how could we justify staying over there? This is a wonderful diversion to keep us from seeing the tragedy that's unfolding here in America. And, of course, as things get worse and as the economic crisis does come, we can always blame it on the wicked Osama bin Laden or some new worldwide terrorist leader. And I think that we're in for some very real economic problems, probably, you know, by the end of 2007, I expect that the real estate market will be in shambles. What are your thoughts, Cal?
Well, I agree 100% with that. I think it might be sooner than that, but the way things are going and everything that I'm reading now and the people that I'm talking to are just saying it's just like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's, you know, once it gets to a certain point, it goes fast. And I think we're at that point now where if things start happening accelerated, in an accelerated fashion, it can happen very, very fast. And in the blink of an eye, we'll have two classes of society left, the very rich and the very poor. The middle class will be gone. The dollar will be evaporated, and we're all going to be in trouble if we haven't done something about it ahead of time.
And I think that people really would be wise to get out of extra real estate that they have. I mean, certainly you want to have your home. I mean, I could have sold my home at the top of this housing bubble, but we decided we were going to live here. We like this place, and even though we know it's going to lose considerable value, I mean, it's not real. It's all imaginary. Everything is simply a perception. And when you have, you know, low interest rates and this idea that the housing prices are going to keep going up indefinitely. Why, people are investing in the second home or third home or speculating in houses, and this drove the prices up even higher and higher. But once that cycle begins to turn around and prices begin to drop, and of course people are not buying the homes like they used to, we find many of the major builders, some of the largest building companies in America are having real problems, and their stock has dropped 40, 50, 60% here in the last year and a half. So I believe that this just foretells what's going to happen, not only in the building industry, but in our industries right here in America, all across America, at least those industries we still have left. So you pick up the story there, Cal.
Well, again, most of our, you know, good factory jobs we've outsourced. They're over in China and Taiwan and all those third world countries, India. You know, working for people in India working for 6 cents an hour, and you just can't compete. So we're suffering over here, and again, the public is just pretty much like the frog in the water, just going to boil itself to death without even knowing it's time to get out, or even knowing they're in trouble. So it's time to take a hard look at reality and do something about our own personal lives and our own personal financial futures. And that's what I kind of specialize in when I talk to people. I do it a very, very practical way, down to earth. You know, I used to be a teacher, so I do everything through education, and that's the purpose of my paper. In fact, I just created a chart. I don't know if we want to deal with this at this time, but I'm just developing it. Did you get that today?
No, I didn't. I waited there and then
it. Well, I got a message anyway. I faxed it to you, but I developed a chart to kind of give people a little bit of a heads up as to what these gold coin companies are trying to do. And most of them out there, I'd say 90% of the gold coin companies, are scam companies. They just want to take your money and give you really nothing of value in return. And so what I did is I prepared what's called a price-to-gold ratio chart. In other words, if you take a coin, like a fractional coin, like a usually a United States, you know, old gold, like a $2.50 Indian or a Liberty, which is an eighth-ounce coin, a $5 Indian or Liberty, which is a quarter-ounce coin, a $10 Liberty or Indian, which is a half-ounce or a one-ounce, $20 Double Eagle or a St. Gaudens. These are called fractional gold coins. And most of the companies out there that are selling these coins, they want to sell the high mint state coins, the ones that are very rare. And I was even shocked myself as I prepared this chart. And it's kind of hard to explain it, but I'd be glad to email it to anybody who wanted it or requested it.
Basically, are they getting a lot more than the gold value? In other words, basically, what I think people want is something that's been intrinsic value that you know, a means of protecting their savings. And certainly, gold has been a means of protecting savings for a long period of time. But sometimes when you get these coins that are very much for collectors, but you really don't know. The average individual doesn't have enough knowledge of the value of coins to know where the real value is. And there are a lot of people who are selling them these rare foreign coins, you know, and they're really not worth any more than just the gold that's in them. But they have a great sales pitch, and people are buying them. And by the time, you know, the gold would have to double in value before they could ever get their money back.
Well, again, this is exactly what this chart, you know, exposes. Like I said, I was even shocked to see these numbers. It would take, you know, for instance, a $5 Indian coin. They were minted from 1908 to 1933. A $5 Indian is a quarter-ounce gold coin. Now, if you, again, these companies, they sell them in the high mint state coin. So what I did is I certification or slabbed coins started at MS or mint state 61. And so what I did on my chart is I took, you know, a mint state 61, you know, Indian, $5 Indian, and I've got all these other coins there too across the chart. And then I figured out the cost of the coin.
So we'll talk about that when we get back here.
All right, very good.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. You go right ahead, Cal. You were just saying that the first these coins, that they're certainly a low mintage number, so they will try to get a great deal more for them, and then of course so you've actually calculated what they're asking for them and then what they really are worth.
Right. So what I did is I took a composite of three major wholesalers in the country. You know, what their cost is on this coin, what they would sell it for. And then, of course, typically, gold coin companies mark it up a minimum of 25%. Now, I use that as a conservative markup, because a lot of times it's 50 to 75%. But I use 25% not to be ostentatious or, you know, exaggerating. So I took I'm going to read right across, $5 Indian, to give you an example of what a person, you know, would pay for that. Like a $5 Indian in a mint state 61 with a 25% markup was $788. Now that's a quarter ounce of gold. Now if you want to find out the cost per ounce of that coin, all you have to do is multiply times 4, because it's a quarter ounce, times 788, it ends up to be $3,150. That's what you paid per ounce for that $788 coin, because it was a quarter ounce. Now that's a mint state 61. Now, but if you go to a mint state 65, the cost of that coin escalates to $21,375. That's a mint state 65 with a 25% markup. Now, if you again multiply that times 4 to get your per ounce price, you're at $85,500. Is what you paid for an ounce of gold when you bought that $5 Indian in the mint state 65. Now, the final thing on my chart is what's called a price to gold ratio, or the PGR ratio. Now, what I did then, once you get your cost per ounce of the coin, which was $85,500, divide that by the spot price, which was at the time $600 an ounce, and you get 142-1. You divide 85,500 by 600 and you get 142-1. That's what you paid. It was the price to gold ratio in that coin. And, you know, in other words, gold at $600 an ounce has to multiply itself 142 times until you get to the break-even point. Just the break-even point. These numbers are just, they're crazy, but they're real. These are real numbers. I didn't inflate anything. I just took the numbers off the actual charts from these companies, and I just did the math. And it's right there.
What they're going to tell you is that, you know, as the price of gold goes up, why, of course, people are going to pay more for these rare coins. But are you really sure of that? That's the question.
Well, as I say in my paper, the only thing rarer than a rare coin is a buyer for a rare coin.
Right.
And I talked to a man this last week. Who's got some of these coins that he bought from one of these scam companies. And now, a month later, because he asked what the price was before because he wanted to, you know, get out of them, now this company will not buy them back at this time.
Did they promise to buy them back before?
Yeah, of course. Now they won't.
Well, I think the thing is that you really have to get something in writing, because, you know, it's one thing to say something. It's another thing when push comes to shove. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Cal Grunwald. And, of course, our advice to you is be careful, be careful, be careful. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Cal was just saying that you really should know what the value of the gold is in a coin, because, of course, you're being told often that, oh, well, this is a rare coin, and, you know, it's going to go up in value, and we'll buy it back from you at whatever such and such a, you know, so that you won't lose anything. We'll always buy it back. And then when it comes around, you wanted to buy it back, they're not going to buy it back from you. They'll give you some excuse why they don't want to buy it back, or they'll just refuse to. And so you have to be very careful in this business who you deal with, because, of course, I mean, there are a lot of sharks in the water, and you certainly don't want to get bitten.
Another thing that I'm running into now, and that I've never experienced before, is that it's almost impossible to get silver dollars. Now, I don't really sell silver dollars because they're just too expensive per ounce, but I was shocked. But a week ago, I called one of my main suppliers for silver, and he says You can't get silver dollars anymore. They're all sold out.
How much are they? How much do they go for now?
Well, probably $17.50 for a Morgan. $17.50 for a Morgan.
Okay. So basically, that's a pretty good appreciation of the price of those silver dollars.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
of course, if you can't buy them for $17.50, it doesn't matter if they don't have them. Why, of course, then the sky's the limit.
That's right. And that's why I recommend, you know, the 90% of junk silver, because those are the coins you can use for barter. And silver dollars are nice, but they'll cost you about 30% more per ounce than junk silver will. That's why I don't recommend them. But it was interesting to note that you couldn't even get any. I did find some from another company, but they just have small numbers.
So there's going to be a shortage of silver dollars. Yeah. What about though the 90% silver coins? Are there plenty of those?
No, they're not too plentiful anymore either. That wasn't really the case, you know, 6, 8, 9 months ago, as I mentioned on the show. I said there isn't really a shortage of silver, but now, just because so many people are buying and not selling, they're just sitting on them. It's even a crunch in the silver market.
Well, now, Chris, what about these? These silver rounds, and they usually have something stamped on them. They're an ounce of silver, and they have an Indian head, or they have a nice Liberty or a Statue of Liberty or something stamped on them. Are there still plenty of those, or are they even getting a little short?
Well, they're getting a little short too. Everything is getting short. Gold is very,
have you
very
noticed
scarce.
This before? Did you notice before Y2K, or is this sort of a new phenomenon?
Well, before Y2K, it was a different phenomenon, and just simply because nobody knew what was going to happen to the computers, and you know they were in danger. Most people, you know, were in danger of losing their entire life savings if they didn't get them out of institutions that you know were controlled by computers. So that's why the demand was so severe before Y2K for these old gold coins. In fact, it over doubled the price of these old gold coins over a comparable weight bullion coin because of supply and demand. Now we're not in that situation now because Americans are still asleep. But once they awake and they start buying gold, it's not going to take but a week or two before everything gets dried up, and then you know the sky's the limit. So I just keep encouraging people when I talk to them. I said, you know, look, this is coming, and it's better to be 3 months early than one day late. And I mean, some people are starting to pay attention now. The gold is crept over 600, and of course the bankers are still heavily manipulating it. But a lot of things are spurring it on, and you know, you got the falling dollar, and the economic situation around the world is in a disastrous state. We've got Mideast war is basically World War III has started, but they haven't really officially declared it yet. A lot of factors are contributing to the rise in gold, but it's basically at the bottom. It's, you know, $622. Gold is basically at the bottom, and when it does take off, you know, the sky's the limit.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question, if you have a comment. But certainly I think that the reason we like to have Cal and other people on talking about this is hoping that people will begin to make preparations for what lies ahead. I think we're in for some very difficult conditions. I believe, in fact, from everything we can get from our multiple sources, is that it's only a matter, not if, but when we go to war in the Middle East. I mean, certainly, there was a recent article by Richard Haass. He's the head of the Council on Foreign Relations, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. In an interview with Der Spiegel, a wife, of course, he was talking about, well, we certainly should try diplomatic relations before what? Well, if it's very obvious what he's talking about, we're going to pretend that we're going to try to avoid the war. But we do not want to avoid that war. We're being drawn into a war in the Middle East for no logical reason at all. If we're worried about atom bombs, why are we worried about India having an atom bomb? Why aren't we worried about North Korea having an atom bomb? And the CIA says that it's going to be many years before Iran can do anything, but there's an urgency to go to war now. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Cal, certainly, do you sense any a feeling of urgency on the part of the people you're talking to, or are most of them thinking, well, Christmas season is here, well, let's just wait to see what happens in the next couple of months?
Well, first of all, they're waiting for the elections to be over. Now they're over, there's a new lull, which is the, you know, the holidays, and it's just that, you know, the ones that are awake, and the ones that are asleep are asleep. There's really no sitting on the fence. And the people I talk to either they're tuned in and they're going to do something about it because they see the imminent dangers, or they're just, you know, people are just waiting. Well, I'm going to wait till the first of the year because if I take my money out of the IRA, I'm going to pay a lot of taxes, which is true. But, you know, there's not much urgency. It's just kind of lackadaisical. And again, that's all by design too, because the media is so effectively dumbed down the public. If you watch it, if you read it, you're just going to be a deer in the headlights. That's what they want, and that's what they get.
I'll never forget when many years ago I had a defined benefits pension plan, and I was trying to decide what I wanted to do. I really thought that maybe I should get out of that, and this was probably 10 years or so ago. And I was trying to find out the implications of what I was going to have to pay in the way of taxes, and certainly there were, you know, all sorts of IRS pieces of law referable to this, all sorts of stipulations, and when you try to read the IRS laws and understand them, you couldn't. So I began calling around, trying to find somebody who really understood the IRS laws having to do with pension funds. And I finally got to the number one man on the West Coast. He was in charge of all of the IRS rules and decisions. And talking to him, we got really on a pretty good first-name basis, and I talked to him all the various ramifications. And he finally confided in me. He said, Stan, he says, I'm in charge of this whole Western division as far as pension funds and pension funding. And he says, I don't understand the laws. Nobody understands the laws. If I were you, I would pay your pension and get out. And I took his advice, and it was probably the best advice that we ever got. We did actually go to Anderson and Anderson, get their advice, and with that and the fellow from the IRS, they don't understand the laws. If they don't understand, there's no way you can. You may very well, of course, have to pay taxes now on the money, but at least they'll have something that has intrinsic value. And all you need to do is see what's happened in other countries where the currency has gotten into trouble. You're better to have something than nothing at all. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and one of our callers called in. Incidentally, if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And before we go to the question from the caller, though, Cal, why don't you get your telephone number out, your website, and then let people know what they'll get if they do get in contact with you.
Sure. My telephone number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. Or you could go to my website, which is www.goldand, write out the word and, goldandsilverexchange.info, I-N-F-O. That's goldandsilverexchange.info. And I now have a 32-page paper on the scams in the coin industry, and it contains additional documents, the emergency banking order, an article on the Fort Knox Gold, it's not there anymore, and some very interesting articles out of the 1933 New York Times, including an article which states that Roosevelt closed the bank doors and opened everybody's safety deposit boxes. And so it's a very, very interesting information package that everybody should have just to educate yourself. Whether you intend on buying gold or silver or not, it's an education. And now I also will be glad to email this chart to anybody who wants to see it. It's just a one-pager, but it tells a really, really kind of horrifying story of what most scam companies do to people. So that's how to get my information, either my phone or the website.
Well, I think you have to be careful of these high-pressure salesmen because they'll really try to stampede you into buying something. And I just tell people to be careful, be careful, be careful. Well, a listener asks, why not, if you're concerned about what's happening to the value of the dollar, how about, of course, opening up a Swiss account, a dollar account, or maybe a Swiss account in Switzerland, an account in Panama, and shift some of your money overseas? How would you respond to people
who
suggest that?
My recommendation is, I guess, real nuts and bolts, very practical. Possession is 9/10 of the law, so if you don't have it in your hand, you don't own it, and you know the last thing you want to do is have something 4 or 5 or 10,000 miles away when you need it. It's just like having your year's worth of food, you know, across town, and then you know all of a sudden something happens, and you know how are you going to get it, or even have it across the country. You have to have it in your hand in order to utilize it when the time comes.
All right, fine. Well, if anybody else has a question out there, as I say once again, our number one. 888-24 Liberty or 464-8295, I think it really depends upon the where a person stands. I think that some people might be very, very wealthy. If you're Warren Buffett, you're probably going to have money out of the country. If you're very wealthy, you might want to have things diversified. But certainly, I concur that you do want to have things that you will have, you know, that you can lay your hands on if we get into difficult financial problems. And I don't think it's a matter of if, but I think it's a matter of when this is going to occur. And certainly, I think we're going to begin to see an economic downturn this coming year. I think that the price of houses is going to fall, and it may tumble rapidly, or it may go down just a little at a time. But we know what happened in Japan when they did exactly what we're doing. It fell, property values fell in Tokyo, 90%. You can see what they're doing, actually, to try to maintain this whole economic bubble. They want to lower the margin rates to invest in stocks. In other words, you don't have to put down the money to buy a stock. You can put down 50% of the value, or maybe as little as 10% of the value of that stock, and you can margin that, and which is great. If the stock is going up, you'll make money hand over fist. But, of course, if the stock goes down, you lose everything. And this is exactly what they were doing back in 1928 and 1929 to draw more and more and more people into the stock market, motivated by greed, because they were really going to get ahead. And that's what really motivates the markets, greed. And then, of course, the other emotion is fear. And when the market turns against you, and this is no time to be speculating, I think, on anything at all, when the market turns away from you, why greed is replaced by fear. Stark fear. And I've been there, believe me, ladies and gentlemen. And it's sort of like playing commodities. It's a great way to make a small fortune. Out of a large fortune, do not do it. Unless you have a much different temperament, you might be lucky, but chances are you're not going to be. And in the commodity market, 95% of the people lose. And in these speculations, 95% of the people lose. Unless you know what's going to happen, don't go there. So, okay, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Somebody just called in and wanted to know that you'd recommended a reserve food supply. Do you see that there may be crop failure? Why do you think people should have food on hand?
Well, it's not necessarily because I anticipate crop failure, although that will be coming sometime down the line. But when, you know, George Bush just got, I can't remember what executive order it was, but, you know, he just signed some executive order into law, so he can declare martial law anytime he wants. He has now control of the National Guard when it was, you know, when it used to be given to the states. He can pretty much commandeer, you know, troops in the United States now to become a dictator. So when that happens, and it's not if, but when that happens, because we know what Bush's intent is, not good, then you should have some food with you, because if they close the bank doors and they restrict, well, so there'll be a panic then. Everybody will run to the grocery store, and, you know, you don't have to do that. You're not going to get hurt on the way, or else run into a grocery store and there'll be nothing on the shelves. So it's just common sense to have, you know, 6 months, 2 years worth of food stored up in your own home so you're not, you know, part of the stampede later.
And, Chris, I think there's another thing to take very, very seriously, and that is the fact that I believe that they want to have everybody chipped. I think they're going to use the threat of the wicked Osama bin Laden over there in the cabin, over there in the cave, to justify we're going to have everybody have a chip, because we have to know that who you are, you might be an illegal or you might be a terrorist. Well, of course, you know, if everybody has to be chipped so you can buy or sell, it would certainly be nice not to have to buy or sell. Because if you actually take the mark of the beast, and I believe that chip is the mark of the beast, why, I think that you are going to lose your, are going to be in very, very serious trouble, you know, from a spiritual point of view. And I think that, well, certainly we have to look to God for protection and for guidance, but I think we would be foolish not to make preparations. And the Bible is full of stories about the people not making preparations, the story of the 10 virgins, and and 5 were prepared and 5 were not. But I think we have to carry this over into the life we live here. We have to make preparations if it's up to us, and hope that if we're not prepared for something, things, that God will see us through. But we would be foolish. I think everybody should begin making preparations, because if we do go to war with Iran, think of the implications of shutting off the oil supplies from the Middle East. What do you think that would do to the price of gasoline? What do you think would happen to our economy if the price of gasoline went up to $6, $8, or $10 a gallon? What would happen to the cost of goods on the shelves that are going to be brought in by trucks, diesel trucks? I think we are on the edge of some very, very real problems. And there's an article coming out here in the next few days in the New Yorker magazine, written by Seymour Hersh, who was in contact with people who attended a private meeting at the White House, where Dick Cheney said, at least according to Seymour Hersh, it doesn't matter how the American people feel. It doesn't matter what Congress wants. If we want to go to war with Iran, we're going to go to war with Iran. And I really believe that it's only a matter of time before, in one way or another, why the whole of the Middle East goes up in flames. And believe me, if you think that's going to happen, there's not going to be any consequences here at home. Why, you're far more optimistic than I am. And I think very, very unrealistic. And that's why we, of course, put these programs on, hoping that everybody out there in the listening audience is going to make preparations to look after themselves as times get bad. And if you look after yourself, then you're going to be in a position to help others. If you can't look after yourself, then you're totally dependent, either on the state or on the people who have made the preparations. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald. And, of course, we're talking about what's going on economically. Well, go ahead, Cal. How soon do you think that things will begin to turn down? Do you have any thoughts on that at all? Do you think
it's going to be another year? There's another very important factor, and that's inflation. And the Fed now is very concerned about inflation, and they kind of agreed to leave interest rates where they were for a while. But they're talking about inflation kind of behind their backs, because it's rearing its ugly head now. They don't come out and, you know, give the numbers. Of course they do, but that's one of the things that I did a little bit of a research on actual inflation numbers, and all those, that chart is in my paper, and the actual inflation numbers, they have been about 35% a year for the last 3 years. Now, the government is saying 2 or 3 or 4%. Of course, they do exclude food, fuel, or housing. If you take the big three out, there really isn't anything left. But now they're even saying that inflation is on the rise, and they're watching it. And, you know, that's why the market kind of responded, because the Fed finally admitted that there's a problem there, and they may do something about it. But
see, they're the people, of course, who are generating this inflation by massively increasing the amount of credit. Now, if you watch M1 and M2, they're not going up that rapidly. But they're not publishing M3 anymore. And you have to ask yourself why, after 50 years of publishing M3, did they stop? Because they don't want the people to know what they're doing. And on one hand, they're talking about fiscal responsibility and worried about inflation. On the other hand, they're massively increasing the credit that is out there, and by increasing the credit, you're increasing the monetary supply of M3. And they're trying to keep this thing from collapsing just by putting more and more money out, and it doesn't work. I mean, the most elementary thing would be they should know it's not going to work, and sooner or later they're either going to have to start, you know, letting up on the amount of credit, or this whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down. Of course, Japan, all the other central banks are doing exactly the same thing. And the carry trade is still going on in Japan with very, very low interest rates, and you can borrow money in Japan at low interest rates, and then, of course, you can let it out in other countries at high interest rates and make a great profit, and that's what the hedge funds are still continuing to do. But one of these days, the day of reckoning is going to come.
Well, that's true. There was an article that I read talked about the derivative market is now at $370 trillion worldwide. Now, that number I can't even comprehend, but...
Could you explain to our listeners what the derivative market is?
Well,
because I think most people really don't understand. We are talking about $360 trillion in derivatives. What's a derivative?
Well, that's a good question, and I guess I would turn the tables and ask you, Dr. Stan, what's a derivative?
A derivative is a bet on a bet.
That's what I was going to say, figured
out by calculus. And basically, if you think that the interest rates are going to go up, why, of course, you're going to shape your investments accordingly. But what happens if they go down? Well, to protect yourself, if you're betting they're going to go up, well, you can buy yourself a derivative in case they go down. And that means, of course, somebody is out there who's going to back up, and if the interest rates go down, they're going to give you the money. So, I mean, it's a leverage situation. And so that people have derivatives on just about everything that's imaginable. And they would have it on stock investments, on the prices of commodities. And it is simply, if you think that you're going to invest in a commodity market, a very highly leveraged position, and then try to protect yourself in case it turns against you with a derivative. And that's all right, as long as, of course, too many things don't turn and turn rapidly, because then the people who are supposed to come up with all this $360 trillion, which doesn't exist, there's no way they can meet it, and the whole situation begins to melt down. When we got started here a couple of years ago talking about this, there were about $270 trillion in derivatives. It's gone up $100 trillion in derivatives, you know, here over what, the period of about 2 years. So, I mean, this can't go on forever, and sooner or later, this whole thing's going to come down. Another caller from California just reported that 50% of the escrows in the area where he lives are being canceled at this time, and buyers realize that the prices of the house that they've put a bid in on are falling, and many of them would rather lose their deposits and wait a while till the prices come down. So people have put down a deposit. And 50% of the escrows, people who've promised to buy houses or put down a deposit, are walking away from that deposit. That's a rather frightening thing. I don't know where that is, but somebody here in California.
Wow. That's amazing. So people are getting scared and backing out.
Well, I think that they are, rightfully so. I think that people who read the Times and understand what's going on realize that things are not as good as our government would have us believe.
No. And they're getting worse. And no, the only thing that's been the major thing, as we talked about, is that's been fueling this whole economy is the housing market, and now that's starting to crash or collapse dramatically, and so that's why the government is, you know, pumping M3 and credit and printing money. That's the only thing they can do, and that's gonna implode on itself in just a matter of time, because you can't do that without any substance behind it.
All right. Well, would you like to get your telephone number out just one more time, Cal?
Yes, it's 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. Or you can go to my website. It's www.goldandsilverexchange.info, goldandsilverexchange.info, and you can request my package of information.
He's really got some fascinating information in it because, of course, he's got a lot of clippings from the New York Times that were taken, you know, in the 1930s. And you have to understand the past so you do not repeat the mistakes of the past, because those who not remember the past are condemned to repeat it, know what happened before, and, of course, you may be able to at least protect yourself somewhat from the very difficult economic times that I really do feel are, of course, coming upon us. And I believe we're seeing the housing bubble begin to contract. With that, it means that the tremendous amount of the artificial liquidity that's been created is going to not be there. It's going to be impacting that upon sales in this country. And people are not going to... We have no savings at all as a nation. Other people are saving their money in other countries. Here, everybody's spending their money. But suddenly, if they don't have any money to spend, they don't have this liquidity, it's being simply disappearing, then this is going to have an impact on production, and production is going to have an impact on jobs, and more people, I believe, are going to be thrown out of work. And of course, now, of course, we have the large number of illegals coming here and competing for our jobs. And what's going to happen when there are no jobs? Well, Cal, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, well, again, I just wanted to reiterate that it's time for people to take a hard look at, you know, what you have or what you don't have. And if you have money out there in the stock market or the bank or money markets or CDs or annuities, any kind of investment instrument that's dollar denominated, you should take a hard look at it to get it in your hand in some tangible form, you know, while you still can, while there's still some relative sanity reigning. And I can't encourage people enough to do that. And one of the best ways, you know, to educate yourself is to get my information package, or call me up and talk to me, and we can just kind of walk through, you know, what you have, what you don't have. And I do turn a lot of people away because once I find out you don't have too much, I told two people yesterday that, first of all, you should get your 6 months, they only had like $3,000-$4,000 that they wanted to put into gold or silver. I said, do you have your 6 months worth of food? And they said, no. So I said, well, you better buy that. So actually I turn people away, and people are kind of shocked that I do that, but, being a believer, I can't, with a clear conscience, put people into gold and silver if they have just a little bit of money. So I just say, look, you're going to need to buy your food first. When the dollar collapses and when we get into hard times and we have martial law, you're going to need to buy food. So buy that first. Have that in place. And if you have, a lot of electronic money or cash out there that you're not doing anything with, or it's not earmarked for anything, then I encourage people to buy gold. So there are a lot of people out there that have substantial monies, and I encourage them to put it into gold and silver and have it with them, because then you can, you can say, this is my wealth. And you can also, as you mentioned, you can help other people, who are less fortunate than you are. If you've had the foresight and you've done the right thing at the right time.
Well, I think that we are getting into some very, very difficult times, and so just begin making your preparations and hope and pray that I'm wrong. I really wish I was wrong. I wish we could continue in this wonderful utopian society we've lived in indefinitely. But if God is just, His justice will not sleep forever, and I believe He is going to bring His judgment upon this country in many ways, in civil unrest, in the impoverishment of large numbers of our people. And of course, I believe that there's going to be a tremendous problems. I believe there are going to be epidemics and new diseases, and well, we'll talk more about that later. Cal Grunwald, thanks so much. Good night.
Thank
you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I do need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's the background and that's the backbone of our ministry here. And then, of course, we do have a syllabus and a talk on the financial tsunami. And, of course, our recommendations on investment are this: diversify, diversify, diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket and don't put them all in one place. Spread them out so that no matter what happens, you'll have something there to fall back on. And certainly if you were interested in laying in a food supply, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a catalog. And, of course, Ready Reserve Foods, we are, act as an agent for them. And if you buy them through us, you'll get the same price if you got them directly from the producer. But they're good things, they're stable things, and everybody should have a supply on hand. So if you'd like to get one of the food catalogs, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Of course, some of the things you can buy right off the shelves. And you'll have things like minute rice, things of that sort that last for a good long time. But, of course, the other things that, you know, you would want to have. And some of the ought to have a good stockpile of vitamins and minerals and things like that. If you want to get our health catalog, we'll be glad to send it to you. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. To understand what's happening financially, you really need to get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Excellent book by my good friend Ed Griffin. I've known for 44 years. I've met him back in the December of 1962. And then another book is called The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, a good friend of ours. And the third book we recommend is Fiat Money, Inflation in France, that was written 150 years ago about what happened in France in 1789. But you have to understand history to understand what's going on. And reading that book about what fiat money, inflation in France, it's like deja vu all over again. So those three books, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and Fiat Money, Inflation in France, must reading for anybody who's concerned about what's going on. We have a little pamphlet. It's called The History of Money. It's simply a compilation of my newsletters on money. But if you put them together, it'll give you a tremendous background and understanding. And you have to understand what money is and how it works. The History of Money, little pamphlets, it's inexpensive, but we recommend this. And then, of course, we hope you've read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or you've seen the video or the VHS. You need to understand the spiritual forces that are behind everything going on today. And so, that, of course, we suggest... the DVDs, they sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, and the 10-hour version of the DVD will change your life forever. The book, Hostage to the Devil, by Father Malachi Martin. And, of course, we suggest you get that along with my 4 interviews with Father Martin. And he was a Catholic, a Jesuit priest. He actually talks in one of his books about the satanic ceremonies in the Vatican. And I'm not picking on the Catholics because the same thing goes on in the Protestant church. We've got the same forces in the Jewish church. This permeates every aspect of our society. There really are people out there who worship the other God. At least they look upon him as a God. They believe there are two gods. There's the God of the Bible and the Satan. And they've chosen, knowingly and intentionally, to worship Satan. If you saw, we were just watching the DVD last night of the Da Vinci Con, and of course this is all about Gnosticism, it's all about the Sophia, and of course the other God. And of course, who's the heroine of the Da Vinci Con? A code, it's a woman named Sophia. Anyway... Ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Pray for Radio Liberty. Pray for our leaders and pray for our ministers. And so we'll be back here in just a moment for the next hour of Radio Liberty. Don't even think about changing the dial. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And today our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. And we're going to be talking about a new DVD he's put out on water fluoridation. It's a very good DVD. It's got four separate 30-minute clips on it, and I think they're timed so that you can put them onto certainly your local cable station. Fascinating information, which we recommend to you. Water fluoridation is a very important issue. Why? Well, because everybody tells you water fluoridation is safe. The Public Health Service says it's safe. Your doctor and your dentist will tell you it's safe and effective, and we've got to fluoridate the water. The truth of the matter is they're poisoning the American people. Water fluoridation lowers the testosterone level, and that's why so many men have erectile dysfunction. Water fluoridation actually lowers the sperm count and lowers the sperm motility, and this is the reason why that we have so much trouble getting women pregnant. And it probably impacts on the woman as well. We know that in fluoridated areas, the level of fertility is lower. The incidence of Down's disease is increased. It has a catastrophic effect on the body, on the mind, on the bones, on the endocrine system. And they know this. And they're concealing it from the American people. What if we could get the average American to realize that they're being lied to by the media, they're being lied to by their physicians and dentists who just don't know any better. And the reason that they don't know any better is because they've been lied to. But if we can convince people of this one simple fact, that water fluoridation is not a communist plot, it is a plot of very wicked people here in America to destroy the health of our people and enslave them, and they don't want smart slaves, they want dumb slaves. And I think one of the most impressive parts of this DVD, and we hope many of you want to get it, it's called Water Fluoridation, is to see the difference in the children in China, between the children in areas where there's no fluoride in the water and where they have high levels of fluoride. And well, with us is the man who's traveled all over the world to try to bring in the information, Dr. David Kennedy. Hi, David. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. What's the title of your DVD?
Is Your Water Safe?
Is Your Water Safe? Okay. And, of course, that'll be a little different than the other DVD that we got from you called Water Fluoridation. But anyway, certainly, is your water safe? You did a great job on that. Did you send those 10 of them to me you were going to?
Yeah, you should have them by now.
All right, fine. Well, then I'll get after my wife and make sure that we get a check off to you. I appreciate so much you getting it to us. But anyway, of course, what motivated you to put together this DVD?
Well, you know, I've talked to a lot of seminars and meetings, and, you know, and you end up, you know, wearing the wheels off your car and the wings off your airplane getting around, and, you know, there's just not enough time in the day to talk to all the people that need to know about this, and everybody would say at these meetings, you know, how can I do something in my own community? And I thought, you know, myself and Michael Connett have been putting together little video clips and so forth for quite a period of time, and said, well, you know, play this on public access, and that way... It'll save on gas.
And first, Dr. Cotter is a professor of chemistry. He actually has a website up. It's called fluoridealert.org. You know, it's got to be a good website because the American Dental Association bought up fluoridealert.com and fluoridealert.net, hoping that you would go to the wrong website. Why are they doing that? Because they don't want you to know what's on fluoridealert.org. fluoridealert.org, you'll want to go to. Understand that they're doing everything they can to let them prevent you from learning, and the American people from learning, that they're poisoning you and they're poisoning your children. fluoridealert.org. Dr. Paul Cotter will be right back. Well, David, of course, I think it's really a great DVD. Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about how it was that you got invited to go over to China Did the Chinese government invite you to come over there to look into the fluoride issue?
Well, they gave me permission. The person who invited me is a professor at the China Medical University, and that he and his fellow professors had been deeply involved in a program in China for almost 30 years to get fluoride out of the water. His professor Sun Guofan at the Shenyang Medical School heard me speak, and I spoke in both Budapest and then again in Poland at the Fluoride International Society for Fluoride Research, and he kept sending me emails and says, we need your expertise over here in China. We need to have you come talk at our fluoride arsenic meeting. And I'd never heard of a meeting where they talked about two toxic substances at one meeting. But they were talking about the interaction between fluoride and arsenic. And I said, I don't know how arsenic does, but I can tell you about fluoride. And he finally talked me into coming. And I said, you know, I would like to take pictures of dental fluorosis. And he said, would skeletal fluorosis be okay, too? And I said, yes, that'd be great. And so with a little bit of money, he was able to set up a complete tour of the program that China's been involved in for the last 30 years to get fluoride out of the water. And they took us to a city where they had found good water and put in a water tower and plumbed it, because, you know, this is rural China. You know, everybody has their own well, so it was unusual at that time frame back in the late 70s to have your own water tower. But they put a water tower in, and all these people who used to be really terribly crippled now are walking around. And one lady was just overflowing with enthusiasm, showing us her grandchild, and she says, look, he has no dental fluorosis, because they know that the children get dental fluorosis when they get to be, you know, 35 or 40, they're going to be crippled.
Now, of course, where are they getting the water to put into the water tower?
The way the earth is made is that the fluoride in China is a natural occurring fluoride that's in the surface of the soil, because it's like in the United States, around Colorado Springs, Dighton, Kansas, around in there, there's decomposed granite in the surface of the soil, and so if you drill a well into that, you get high fluoride. If you keep on going, like 500 feet down, you'll go through the clay layer on the surface of the earth, and you're down into water that's several thousand years old that may have come from 1,000 miles away. You know, snow runoff generally soaking through a mountain will get down into that below the clay layer into an aquifer, and that's what they'd found, is that they found water that was low in fluoride, that was old water, but not contaminated with the decomposed granite.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking with Dr. David Kennedy, a good friend who, of course, is dedicated to trying to educate the people of America, indeed the whole people of the world, about the dangers of fluoride. And you have to understand that in most countries of the world, they're doing everything they can to get the fluoride out. There is literally no place in Europe where they allow fluoridation. I think 10% of Great Britain, a larger percent of Ireland, but all the other European countries will not allow water fluoridation. And, of course, their children's teeth are just as good, if not better, than the teeth of the children in the United States. And in the major cities where they have fluoridated water, they have astronomical incidents of dental caries in the children. And when they tell you it's safe and effective, they're simply lying. But a lie taught often enough will come to believe. Well, we're talking tonight about, a new DVD we're going to be carrying. It's called Is Your Water Safe? It is four segments. Each one is perfectly timed, so you can show this on your cable access television. And we want you to get this DVD, and we want you to show it on your cable access television, and sure to show it to anybody else you want to, for that matter. It's very well done. It's very professionally done. It's got four great interviews on it. So we started out talking about David's being invited to go to China. And, of course, he had the opportunity to see areas where they had good water, where they'd previously had, you know, a heavily fluoridated water, and what had happened to the people, and then how different they are now that they have got their fluoride out of their water. And then he goes to another area where they haven't been able to get the fluoride out of the water. And it was the most striking thing of the classroom. And these little kids, you know, kids are kids all throughout the world. And in this one classroom, these children, of course, getting their dental conditions checked on camera. The kids are laughing, and then they go to the other community where there's a high fluoride level. And weren't you actually impressed by the difference in those children in the areas with a high fluoride level?
Yes, they were lethargic. They were dull. You know, and you know, instead of laughing and bubbling and happy, they were just dull children. And that my interpreter, you can actually hear on the video explaining that they've done studies in China, and they've shown that dental fluorosis is linked to lower IQ in children. And so one of the reasons these kids, they're being dumbed down by the fluoride in the drinking water. And that's really no different than America.
Now, what is the incidence of dental fluorosis here in the United States?
The most recent survey, you have to understand that the people promoting this are not very good about doing surveys, because the most recent one was 1987. And that John Yamiana sued him for the data, and they said they'd lost it. Apparently they were lying, because they found it, or they found it later. In my opinion, they should have told Dr. Yamianis. But anyway, they published it in the research in 1997, 10 years later, showing that 66% of the children in fluoridated communities have at least one tooth that's visibly scarred by the fluoride in the drinking water. And what came out just this last week was an e-gram from the American Dental Association warning all the dental practitioners, not you and the public, no, they're telling the dentist, that it wouldn't be a good idea to make up baby formula with tap water because the baby would be overdosed with fluoride. Well, we've been saying that for, Stan, what do you think, 20 years?
I mean, they've been giving their children, fluoride drops and fluoride pills, and even in areas sometimes where the water's fluoridated, they're doing it, and they're just poisoning our children, and the dentists don't know, and the pediatricians don't know, and the obstetricians are still giving pregnant women fluoride tablets so their children will have hard teeth, because they haven't kept up with the literature. And even the ADA will admit that ingestion of fluoride doesn't do a bit of good.
Finally, they admitted that, yeah.
They finally admitted this. I mean, scientific evidence should prove to you that if you're drinking fluoride, is not going to change the teeth at all. In fact, doesn't it actually delay their eruption?
It causes crooked teeth, and it's really good for business because it makes spots on them so they pick up stains. So, no, it's not one bit of beneficial, and yes, it is. It delays the eruption, and that delay in eruption causes them to become jumbled and crooked. And on and on. I was at a meeting in Nebraska, and that they invited me back for a debate with the ADA expert Michael Weasley, and several people were coming up to the microphone, local people and so forth, and one dentist had come in from a community fairly far away from where we were, and he was going blah blah blah, you know, fluoridation's really good, it's beneficial, and I have three daughters and none of them have any cavities, and I just, off the top of my head, said, do any of them have any neurological impairments? And he turned kind of white and sat down. I didn't know. You know, God just kind of gives you things to say. And after the meeting, I wish he'd said yes, but after the meeting, he came over and he said, well, you mentioned neurological impairments. What do you mean by that? And I said, you know, lower IQ, learning disorders. And he said, how about Down syndrome? And I said, oh, that would be Rappaport study, 1957. I said, yes, young females that are exposed to fluoride prior to pregnancy oftentimes have a much higher incidence of Down syndrome, which is where the chromosomes don't trade out just right, and they used to call them mongoloid children.
Right.
And he said, well, my wife took fluoride tablets. She's a hygienist, worked in his office, and she took fluoride tablets to try to strengthen her teeth, and the baby's teeth prior to and during her pregnancy and to their first child, and the first child is, of course, his wife was 23 at the time, and the child was a Down baby. So, wonderful teeth, but, you know, too bad about the brain.
And, of course, the great tragedy is that even the dentists don't know this, and yet we even have in my syllabus we put out, you know, called the hidden agenda. We simply give you the article from the Fluoride Magazine, talk about the incidence of Down syndrome increasing. What a terrible tragedy. And, of course, the impact on fertility and the impact upon the bones and the impact upon the mind. And that is the most frightening thing. You know, you could get by without anything but to destroy the mind. And they know that it destroys the mind. And they know that it lowers the IQ. What did the dentist say after you pointed out what the scientific studies show?
Well, he slunk away into the night, but, you know, if he'd been an ethical dentist, he would have turned around to the audience and said, you know, I've changed my mind. But the audience figured it out, and they changed their mind. The six different communities that weekend voted it out, but that was 10 years ago. But they're still promoting it. One of the things in China, and that people don't understand why this is going on, it's all about money, Stan, and the industry of the world all leak fluoride. I don't care whether you're making bricks, concrete, cracking gasoline, pesticide, farmers blowing pesticides all over your farm, whether you live next door to a beautiful vineyard, what do you think they're putting on the grapes? That as long as the American public thinks fluoride is a wonderful, safe ingredient, then industry continues to leak this stuff all over our country. And that, there's a big wedge-shaped plume of lung cancer downwind of the petroleum refinery places. That's from inhaling the fluoride. The workers, talked to a worker that in Los Angeles who his job was to clean up the cracking column, the way they break that oil from long hydrocarbons into stuff and will burn through your car, is they crack it with fluoride. Well, after they do that for a while, the inside of these canisters, these barrels, become totally gooked up with stuff, and they put him in there with a steam cleaner, and he cleans it out. Well, a lot of the stuff in there is fluoride. And he did it for 11 years, and he became crippled like the people in China. And his foreman said, "Well, Charlie, you stood that duty longer than anybody else on the job. You were there 11 years. That's great." And now he's disabled. Well, when they hired him, did they tell you, "Oh, you're going to make $11 an hour, and at the end of 11 years, you're going to be crippled for the rest of your life"? That doesn't sound like a very good wage to me.
And because people don't understand, David, that it attacks the bones. That there's so many studies that it shows it attacks the bones.
Bones, joint, and brain.
Right. And the endocrine system, too. It attacks the thyroid gland. And of course, the reproductive system. And of course, girls have premature menarche. It attacks the pineal gland. And it concentrates in the pineal gland. People have to begin to study this and understand they're poisoning the American people, and they're doing it knowingly with the full help and the support of the U.S. Public Health Service and the Centers for Disease Control, and they know the truth.
Yeah, it's a really good name, really bad reputation.
What?
They have a really good name and a really bad reputation, the Public Health Service.
Well, I think that the trouble is that the people still believe in them. I mean,
of course they do. And matter of fact, whenever you present a complicated subject to the city councils or people like that, and it starts getting complicated, then they just say, "Well, it's recommended by," and then give you a list of organizations that it's recommended by. But if you go ask those organizations, when was the last time they reviewed the science? When was the last time they looked at the evidence? They don't. They don't do that.
Well, what I like to say to people is, look, you put your faith in the U.S. Public Health Service, the CDC. I mean, they have been telling our young people for years, just go ahead and be promiscuous, but just go ahead and protect yourself. And we have 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease is a direct result of the public health policies put forward by the U.S. Public Health Service and the CDC, and that's either the greatest public health failure of all time, or, frankly, malicious activity, and I rather think it's the latter. I do believe that there are evil and wicked people out there, and they know exactly what they're doing, because I've been to the CDC, and I talked to some of them there, and I will tell you that I looked right into the face of evil. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and a lot of people laugh at this, but they've never looked at the scientific studies, and, of course, they're available at fluoridealert.org. They're available, certainly, in our syllabus, The Hidden Agenda. But you want to get this DVD that Dr. Kennedy has put out. Is your drinking water safe? Is your drinking water safe? And, of course, it's got four half-hour interviews on it. And there'll be a second one coming out here before long, I hope. But these can all be put on cable TV. You've got to help us to reach the people, because this is a winning issue. And nobody can really challenge that if they look at the scientific studies and listen to these stories. And once you understand what's going on, if they lie to us about this, what else are they lying to us about? Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're talking with Dr. David Kennedy, and of course, he went over to China. And Sydney, what is your impression? What message would you like to leave with our listeners this evening about China? What do you learn there?
Well, I learned that at least some of the doctors in China are trying to help the people, as opposed to in our country where they're not. There's a very big effort. They've spent a lot of money. Unfortunately, they've run out of money, and they're not spending any more to get the fluoride out of the water. And it's a very polluted country. There's lots of other sources of fluoride, and that they really haven't addressed those that well. Emissions from factories and so forth, and coal burning. Coal leaks a lot of fluoride also. So, at least as far as the water goes, a lot of good doctors are there actually trying to help the people. We've got doctors in this country prescribing fluoride. So, you know, there's certainly a big difference between the two countries and their attitudes about what they're trying to accomplish.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hate to admit it, David, but at one time I prescribed fluoride for osteoporosis. I was told this was the greatest thing. After all, it came from the Mayo Clinic. And if it came from the Mayo Clinic, it had to be good. And, of course, you know, only looking back on that, fortunately, I had a hard time getting the fluoride, the amount that they wanted us to give, so I hope that my doses were so homeopathic they didn't do any harm, and they didn't produce any cancer, because there's a definite relationship, certainly in young men and boys, to osteogenic sarcoma. Well, let's go to Tom, who's calling us from Ohio. Hi, Tom. Did you have a question?
Yes, Dr. Stan.
Hold, speak right up there.
Can you hear me good now?
Yeah, go ahead.
I ran into a dentist over in another town, and I asked him, I did not want the fluoride application applied to my son's teeth. And he said, well, if you don't want that, you go to another dentist. And I said, well, I guess I'll have to go to another dentist. This, it's the first time I ever encountered anybody like that.
Fine, ask him.
He wasn't aware of the gag order, and I tried to explain that to him. He did not want to hear it. He almost literally told me to get out of his office.
Fine, and I would certainly tell all your friends not to go to him.
And also, one other case, not as bad, in the same city. So we did. We moved out of the city. There's just was no use in staying there. And Dr. Stan, bless your heart. Thank you so much for hanging in there and fighting a battle like this. Thank you very much.
Oh, God bless you, and thank you. Thank Dr. Kennedy, because he's one of the giants in this whole battle.
Well, Dr. Kennedy, I want to thank you too for being there, and you stay a giant, and you don't give up. And kind of nobody out here trying to tell people. I have been since I read None Dare Call It Treason in 1967, and it is one hell of a battle. Thank you both for being there. Thank you very much.
And let me tell you, John Stormer is still out there fighting the battle. I've got to be a good friend with John, and we'll have to get him on again sometime soon. But we're making headway. Just keep talking to people. Tell them to go to fluoridealert.org and challenge them. Ask them why the ADA would have bought up all the surrounding websites, and why, of course, if you go onto Club Med and most of the medical websites, they never mentioned the journal Fluoride. That didn't happen by accident. There's an organized effort to keep people from learning the truth. Isn't that true, David?
Yeah, and they just hate the Internet because they they're trying to keep you off that. But I would say also thank you for standing up to that a dictator-type dentist. These people don't have the sense God gave a goose, and they think they can tell you how to raise your kids, and that's not right. Stan, my sister-in-law likes to point out the fact that...
Hold that for just a moment here, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go right ahead, David.
Yeah, my sister-in-law likes to point out that back in the 70s, I, too, wrote a prescription for fluoride tablets for my nieces and nephews. She, being a nurse, didn't bother to get it filled, and that's a good thing. But anyway, we were all ignorant of this. We went to school, we were taught, and we were told, there's a wonderful book about it. It's called The Fluoride Deception, and in this the DVD, there's an interview with the author of the book, Christopher Bryson, and he rolls the history pages back even further. He's back into the 30s when people were basically choking to death on the fluoride fumes coming out of zinc smelters. Anytime you smelt any metal, whether it's steel or aluminum or zinc, fluoride comes out the chimney. And this was in a little town in Pennsylvania, and on Halloween night, a bunch of people started dying And that was because they had a little temperature inversion where they had a high pressure thing, and it was holding the smoke from the zinc smelters into the valley, and it killed people. The Public Health Service raced in and says, no, no, it was just thick air. And so years later, Christopher Bryson dug into the file cabinets, and they managed to independently confirm that the people who had died of fluoride poisoning.
But they can't let the people know that. And the melons, that was a melon company town. It was a company town, and of course they were poisoning the people there. And once they took the smelter out, why, the barren area around there now is green. It was the fluoride fumes that just killed all the local the flowers and the local shrubs and everything. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Tom.
Bye.
Bye-bye. God bless. And you hang in there. Don't let them get you down. If you get them listening to me, why, maybe we can convince them, okay?
I'm trying.
And get this DVD. Play it on your local cable station.
It really is rather
well
done.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And, of course, Is Your Water Safe is the title. Is Your Water Safe? And of course, what's the title of the other one that we have, Carrie, of yours?
I told you the wrong. It's not Is Your Water Safe. It's Let the Truth Be Told. The old one, the one before, was Is Your Water Safe.
All right, Let the Truth Be Told is the latest one.
It's the latest
Is Water
one.
Safe is the one before.
Yeah, so. The one before, and you've seen them both, but the Let the Truth Be Told is far superior. We put a lot of time and effort in making it happen, and including in this in the jacket. Is permission. The producers and videographers, holders of the copyright on this multi-part DVD, do absolutely give their permission and urge citizens to play these programs on non-commercial and public access TV. And that was our gift to the community, so you can educate your community. You don't have to become an expert. All you got to do is pay $10-$15, go down and be a local producer on your public access TV, and start telling your neighbors what's going on.
And, of course, the other thing is, of course, there's a fascinating interview there with the Dr. Harvey Limebach. He must have given you that interview before they threatened him, because I tried to get him onto our program, maybe a year ago, and he told me that he'd been threatened and told he couldn't do any more of these. So what did you do to that interview?
That was the 2000.
Okay, fine.
That was, he's a professor of preventive dentistry in Toronto, in Canada. And he was the host of both the 1987 and again in the 1997 Canadian Review of Fluoride. And both those reviews determined that ingested fluoride, swallowed fluoride, has no beneficial effect. And so, you know, as any good scientist, you know, he said, well, you know, if you don't need to swallow it, then you probably don't need it in the water. So, you know, that probably wouldn't be beneficial. So they developed a protocol for using fluoride. He loves fluoride. You know, he's a dentist. He thinks fluoride's good. And but you know, there's no point in swallowing it. So you know, this is a heresy in the Church of Dentistry. And so you know, they've tried to excommunicate him, but he's got tenure. He's a professor. He's a fairly young fellow, but he's got tenure at the dental school. So they basically just tell him, if you keep talking out like this, we're going to get you. And so he's done his part. He stood up and told what his thoughts were, and now he's ducked back into academia.
And he actually, when I called him, he said, I've been threatened. I'm not going to risk my profession, my family on this issue, but you can certainly see my material up on the Internet and the interviews that I've done. Sound like a very nice man, and I know how he feels. Because, of course, he's subservient to the people there at the university, and they would find a reason to get rid of him, even if he has tenure. Believe me, these people are ruthless, because what's at stake, of course, is the minds and the hearts and the souls of our children. And they really want to destroy them. There really are people out there who know exactly what they're doing. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there across America, you'd like to talk to Dr. David Kennedy. He's one of the giants of this whole battle. He's been at it for many, many years. And certainly when we want to know something about the water fluoridation, we go to him. And the scientific studies are there. We have them listed in our... And you'll actually see the abstracts from the Journal of Fluoride. But, of course, your doctor, your dentist has never seen them. That's why you need to get them and get it to him. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy. And we're talking about his DVD. And, of course, give me the name of the second one again. I know the first one was Is Your Water Safe? What's the second one?
Let the Truth Be Told.
Let the Truth Be Told. Let the Truth Be Told. It's a great DVD. And my wife and I watched it this last week. We got another one on Mercury, and we'll have to watch that DVD and do a series of programs on that. Anyway, then you have, of course, this wonderful interview with Dr. Harvey Lambach, who's a professor of preventive dentistry up at the University of, is it Ontario or Toronto?
Toronto, I believe.
All right, fine. So what did you learn from Dr. Lambach?
Well, you know, I learned that the science doesn't support swallowing fluoride. And he says, you know, even if water did have a topical effect on the germs living on your teeth, if you put the fluoride in the water, it's one too low to have a measurable effect, according to John Featherstone, who was at the meeting. But even if it did, which is what the advocates claim, what you should do is put it in your mouth, swish it around, and then spit it back out. You wouldn't swallow it, because then it goes into your bones and it damages the joints and your brain. So, you know, I think this is far too toxic a substance to put in the hands of children. And if you don't believe me, go get your Crest or Colgate toothpaste out of the bathroom, get your bifocals on, and read what it says. Keep out of reach of children. If they're not used in brushing, you swallowed, call the Poison Control Center immediately. So, why would you know, if I had an arsenic toothpaste, would you start giving the kids brush with that? If it supposedly reduced tooth decay? You know, this is insane. Fluoride is more toxic than lead, and just a hair toxic and less toxic than arsenic. So, you know, it's conceivable for people that like fluoride, they would probably love an arsenic toothpaste.
Well, I think one of the most frightening statistics we've read is that in areas where they have fluoridated water, and they measure the blood level for lead in the children, and there was they have fluoridated water, they measure the level of blood level of lead, they're always increased in the areas where they have fluoridated water. Now, is that because there's lead in the in this hydrofluosilicic acid, this waste product that they put in the water supply, or do you think that lead's coming from some other place? I mean, because there's no safe level of lead for in the blood. Absolutely none, and yet it is always increased in areas where there's fluoridated water, apparently. Is that true?
Yes, it more than doubles. No, it's not. There is lead in the product that's putting in the water. There are no safe products to fluoridate the water with. They use raw, untreated, hazardous waste, and there's lead and arsenic and cadmium, all that stuff in there. That wasn't the source of lead, and then this was a huge study done by Professor Masters at Dartmouth.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking with Dr. David Kennedy here. And before we go on with our conversation, David, I want you to get your website out there so people will know, of course, how to get more information on this subject. This is such an important subject, ladies and gentlemen. You need to be able to talk about this and talk about it intelligently and become acquainted with the various names of the people and get their scientific papers. We actually have many of them if you want them. But I think our syllabus gives you a good, excellent overview of the material. It's called The Hidden Agenda, because I believe behind this water fluoridation agenda is another agenda. But go ahead. How can people get in touch with you, David?
Well, me is the Preventive Dental Health Association, that's kind of a easy website to remember. It's called Save Teeth, SaveTeeth.org. You can get me through that website. But and that's a comprehensive discussion of fluoride and mercury and biological dentistry. I'm clinical practice anymore. I retired at the turn of the century, but I'm happy to direct people to the biological dental organizations and the medical organizations such as American Academy for the Advancement of Medicine and American Academy of Environmental Medicine. I think that physicians and dentists should work together, because dentists can only poison their patients. And so if you become fluoride poisoned or mercury poisoned, the dentist may not treat that. I have a letter from the state of California saying that the health effects of ingested fluoride are not within the purview, it's not within the licensure of a dentist. So, you know, if I give your child a glass of fluoride to rinse with and they swallow it instead, when their heart begins to stop and the eyes roll back in their head and they go into cardiac arrest, I have to say, oh, I better call Dr. Stan, because I'm a dentist. I can only kill kids. I can't save their life once that happens. It's insane. But anyway, saveteeth.org is a website that discusses preventive dentistry, and which is where I'm coming from. Now, we should stop dental disease. It's very easy to stop. It's much more detailed than just fluoride and mercury. It talks about, you know, the germs that cause gum disease and germs that cause, you know, the tooth loss and so forth and so on. You know, you've mentioned already earlier the Fluoride Action Network they have been very helpful in collecting all the scientific data regarding how bad fluoride is. And that's one thing. But I think everybody should pick up a copy of this DVD, maybe get two or three, and use them for stocking stuffers for Christmas.
All right, fine. That's a good thing. Well, anyway, once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. And certainly during the break, we were talking about the fact that it has been found in a large, very large study that if you fluoridate the water, and you check the blood level of lead in children. In other words, you take a blood test, and then you measure the lead level in the blood. Now, there's no safe level of lead for children because it's so toxic for the brain. But if you fluoridate the water, the level of lead doubles in these blood tests. Isn't that right, David? Do you have any idea why that happens?
Yeah, they know actually why it is, because they don't put fluoride in the water. They put a product called hydrofluosylicic acid, which does not completely dissociate, and so it actually forms as a chelator and extracts lead from the food or the dust or the environment around you. And blood lead and water lead are associated, but when they actually looked at the hydrofluosylicic acid, that was far more significant than the level of lead in the water. And what they also found was that if you lived in an old house, there's a potential for having lead paint, for example. They took lead out of the paint in, what was it, 1970. So if your house, the kitchen was painted with a nice, good, solid enamel in 1969, that, you know, when your hand touches the cabinet or when the child walks through, there's a little dust coming off or a flaky paint, that does expose the child to lead. But if there's hydrofluosylicic acid in the water, that child experiences more than a double increase. So exactly what's happening is that the fluoride is not fluoride. It's hydrofluosylicic acid, which is raw waste from the phosphate fertilizer industry, and that's a very strange molecule. You know, it's actually got a patent on it, and it's patented for removing lead from brass. Now, anybody got a brass faucet? You know, aren't the high-quality faucets supposedly made out of brass? Well, this product that they're putting in the water actually extracts lead from that brass. You could take a cannon and put it in there, and all of a sudden you end up with copper and lead. So it's a very, very strange molecule, and there's another even more shocking thing that they determined, that it has a very, very powerful racial difference, and they didn't know why, and it's certainly not explained. But there are many things we know that various ethnic subsets of the population react differently to chemicals, and that they found that some subsets had a six-fold or a 600% increase in the number of children with high lead levels of lead. And that's called disproportionate harm.
Now, I think that was for black children, wasn't it?
Black and the Hispanic was right. Four-fold increase. So 400% for the Hispanic and 600% for the African American.
So that would really poison their brains even more.
Well, what Roger Masters, I just heard him talk at the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, and he said, you know, no child left behind. And he went through in excruciating detail. I won't bore your listeners with it, but he showed study after study showing that the children that are being left behind are the ones that have the high lead levels, and the high lead levels are associated with water fluoridation. So on the one side of their mouth, they're saying no child left behind. On the other side, they're promoting a policy that destroys the brains of these children.
This is fairly well known scientifically. In other words, do they understand they're destroying the brains of our black children?
Yes, and it causes violent behavior as well. And that's what happens if you have a child that grows up with a very high lead level when they're small children, there's a lowering of the serotonin, which is your feel-good hormone in your brain. You know, if you have a lot of serotonin, you get up in the morning, you look at the sunshine, you hear the birds singing, you feel good. But if you have a low level of serotonin, you feel bad, you get depressed. And you also have no what's called impulse control. Impulse means that somebody, you know, honks at you at a stop sign and you pull out your gun and shoot them twice. You know, this is not normal behavior. This is no impulse control. That's what serotonin controls. And that if you have high lead levels, regardless of the color of your skin, you have lowered impulse control. And that, you know, I grew up in a society where we didn't even lock our doors. And now we have people running around, you know, using battering rams to knock them down. So, you know, there's a lot of change in our society. And a lot of it can be linked to exposure to fluoride and exposure to lead, and that they're one and the same. When you put hydrofluorosilicic acid in the water, you are requiring babies to be overdosed and children to be exposed to high lead levels. And you know, it's a crime against our society.
And of course, it's really bad, but they know that it has more of an impact on blacks and Hispanics. Then I would think that this would really be something that should be brought out.
Well, I've been doing my best. I was on a nice radio program down in Arkansas, in Texarkana. There's Texas and Arkansas have a city called Texarkana that splits the border. The border between Arkansas and Texas runs right through the middle of town. And the city council in Texas wanted to put fluoride in the water. And everybody's rah-rah, fluoride's real good. We went down there and we were on the Sunday morning gospel program. And the first question the moderator asked me, she said, "Well, Dr. Kennedy, I have this article here you've written that says water fluoridation is a racist policy. Would you explain what you mean by that?" And I was able to go into, we had about a 20-minute program, I was able to go into some detail on why putting disproportionate harm in causing harm to a community, when you put harm that causes disproportionate harm to one segment of the community over another, and you don't take that in consideration, that would have to be considered a racist policy. And that was the argument that I made. And then when they brought it up in the next city council meeting, everybody said, we don't need to discuss this. This is not a good idea. All in favor of tabling this discussion? And went away. So, it took the community calling their city council people saying, you know, I don't think that's a good idea.
All right, well, let's go to, we've got a caller from Kentucky, I guess his name is it Fox?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, fine. What part of Kentucky in?
I live an hour and a half southwest of Louisville, Kentucky, a little town called Owensboro.
All right, are you actually in Louisville now?
No, I'm traveling through Albany, New York, and I just happen to run across your radio station. And I find it very informative, and it's with a lot of good information. And I'm a lock in on your radio station here when I come through from now on.
Well, I'll tell you what, we actually have a station in Louisville, as I remember. You can get us on the internet or shortwave as well, but we'd have an outlet in Louisville. We have another one in Cincinnati where you can hear our programs every evening at the same time.
That would be wonderful. I'll definitely I'll check on that. I'm 48 years old, and I try to stay as healthy as I can. There's a few problems in our family, and I, at a younger age, started being more cautious about it. But I was a little stunned at what you had to say about fluoride, but it makes a lot of sense. And I'd just like to know what I could do to help my community and get them more knowledgeable about what's going on with our fluoride water. I was concerned about it and contacted our water department, and the lady got very offensive about it.
I wanted to know why I was asking
questions about it. I said, "Well, it just don't taste right. I feel that we got a lot of dental problems in our area."
But they do fluoridate your water, Fox?
Yes, sir.
Kentucky has a mandatory fluoridation program. They're one of the most fluoridated states in the United States.
I think what you really need to do, Fox, is you need to get this DVD, because it's got 4 half-hour programs that you can put on cable television. And you get somebody at the cable station to start running these things in every community there. If the people realize they were poisoning their children, why,
of course.
You need to understand that this destroys the mind. They lose about 10 points of IQ. Why would you do something like that? You'd need to get the material. We have all the scientific studies, and, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or you can certainly go to Dr. Kennedy's website, but we've got a lot of great information in books and DVDs and certainly VHSs and four tape sets on this. You need to get this information. You need to help us get it out.
I would love to. I really would. Because we have a lot of chemical plants and aluminum processing and steel plants right in the area where I live at. And I believe it's a byproduct from steel, isn't it?
Steel leaks fluoride out, but the stuff that they're actually adding to your water supply in 91% of the communities throughout the United States is hydrofluosilicic acid. That comes from making of the phosphate fertilizers. And that the name tells you it all. It's hydro, water, fluo, fluoride. Silicic is sand and acid. So it's a really nasty potpourri of heavy metals. It's only 23% hydrofluosilicic acid, so there's 77% is this wastewater from the pollution scrubbers. So it's real nasty stuff.
We got a lot of that right around in our area. The Ohio River runs down between the state line of Indiana and Kentucky border, and we have a lot of industrial waste that we've been fighting with each county and each state about what they're doing, but I think a lot of big money is covering it up, unfortunately.
Well, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And they're turning their heads the other way, I believe.
Well, I think it's about time you help us get people educated. When they find out that they're destroying the minds of their children, what effect it has on the thyroid, on the endocrine system, on the bones, but mostly on the mind. This is what's unconscionable. And the fertility and the increase in Down's disease and the increase in infertility and the what it does as far as the testosterone level. When people really understand that they're poisoning them and they're doing it intentionally. Now, a lot of people don't know the facts, but when you get the scientific facts and you go to fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org. Don't go to fluoridealert.com. Don't go to fluoridealert.net because they're both put out by the American Dental Association, which is involved in criminal activity, destroying the minds of our children. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Fox. And just keep right on listening. You can get us on the Internet at radioliberty.com on shortwave and there in Louisville and in Cincinnati.
I sure will, sir. I thank you very much.
Good night. God bless. Okay, again, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy, I think that's fascinating about the increase in the blood levels and especially the racial predilection of this, because if this is known in the scientific literature, then the people who are pushing the water fluoridation know it as well, don't they?
They certainly do, and then they have no counter to it. They have a letter from one guy saying, oh, that's not so. Well, that's not how science works. You know, he has over 450,000 children in these two different studies. So you don't counter that with a letter saying, I don't think so. A little bit more about Kentucky is it has almost the worst teeth in the United States. They have one of the youngest age for people to lose all of their teeth. They have an enormous amount of dental problems, and it's one of the most fluoridated states. So if fluoride was going to reduce tooth decay, it should have started by now, and that it hasn't helped the poor people in Kentucky one darn bit. And that's the bottom line, is that if it were beneficial, countries like Ireland wouldn't have terrible teeth, but Ireland is 60% fluoridated, and they have terrible teeth. So, you know, it's a complete falsehood to claim that there's a benefit from swallowing fluoride, and that is where the crime is being committed, in my opinion. They're out, and they're trucking. He's worried about hazardous waste on the Ohio River. There are trucks trucking hazardous waste from Florida all the way up to Kentucky to put it in the water supply. And so, you know, who would say yes to that? And that's why the lady at the water treatment plant gets defensive when you start asking her and starts talking about teeth. It's not about your teeth. It's about your water. And if you want water in your water, even the American Dental Association now acknowledges it will poison, overdose the baby. So, you know, eventually they may admit that it'll overdose the old folks. But, you know, heaven's sakes, it's not okay to poison the baby, in my opinion.
No, it certainly is. And, of course, I really think that I think it's so important that people understand that this is a winning issue. If we get people to realize the truth about this, that we're going to be able to get them to realize they're being lied to about just about everything. We've got to get people to think, at least those whose minds have not been so damaged that they're incapable of, of thinking again. Do you think that the children who actually have had their minds damaged by the fluoride, is that a reversible process?
Yeah, especially if the damage is occurring after birth. If it occurs in the womb, it's much more difficult to reverse. But if it occurs afterwards, yes, it can be reversed.
All right, fine. Let's go to Kurt here, calling from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Kurt. How are you doing?
Yes, I had a question.
All right, fine. I'm going to ask you to just hold that question until I get to the break here, and then we'll be glad to take it. And how's it coming in? Loud and clear there in Flint?
Oh, it's pretty cold up here.
Oh, it is, huh? No, I was asking about the radio program, the radio signal.
Oh, fine. Actually, it was pretty bad for a while. We were getting a lot of interference in the signal for a couple months there.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it all right now.
We clear it up now.
All right, hold on. All right, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is David Kennedy, and our guest is Kurt from Flint, Michigan. What was your question, Kurt?
Yes, I had a question. We use hydrofluoridic zirconic acid in our processing for etching metal. Would that be a problem?
Well, as long as you don't get it on you.
To say breathe it or something like that?
Yeah, it'll kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not nice stuff.
And of course, it'll get into your lungs. I mean, you should have some sort of a respirator.
You need the ordinary rubber gloves. Make sure that there's no holes in them. You should have your sleeves that cover your arms. You should have stuff that protects your eyes. There's a water worker in I think it was Arkansas, and the pump was failed, and he went to change the pump out and put a new pump in because the fluoride ate the pump, and he released the pressure on the line. But he didn't release the pressure on the uphill line, and he released it downhill. So when he undid the valve, or undid the fitting, it spritzed about a half a cup of hydrofluorophilic acid on him, and he's permanently disabled. It almost killed him.
Wow.
It knocked his calcium down so low in his bloodstream, his heart almost stopped. His joints are all locked up. He's just really destroyed for a man of 33 years old. And, looks like he's 80. So, anyway, you're not talking nice stuff.
And, of course, the stuff that you're using for etching is still a very, very strong, potent fluoride product. I mean, actually, of course, they put the fluoride in flux, that you use when you're doing soldering. Why? Because it dissolves the metal, it makes it flow easily. And that's, of course, they use it in all sorts of manufacturing. There's a great book called The Fluoride Deception. It's got great material in it. We carry it. In fact, there's an interview with the author of that on this DVD we're talking about tonight called Let the Truth Be Told. This Chris Bryson did a great job. Actually, he's a television producer for a British company working over here in the United States who just stumbled on this story and wrote a great book. I think we're indebted to him. I think it's the best book and most readable book we have on this fluoride deception.
And certainly wonderfully researched.
It really is. And, of course, that's a book we carry called by Chris Bryson, The Fluoride Deception, but you'll actually see him interviewed on Dr. Kennedy's DVD that we're offering. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Kurt, but make all the all the things you have to do and get some sort of a respirator. You can get these down at the hardware store, but at least to give you some protection, keep that stuff out of your lungs.
That should be furnished by your employer. Think about it this way.
Hey, we're out of time, Dave.
Oh, okay.
Can I have to let him? Bye bye. God bless. And thank you so much, Dave. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy. I hope you enjoyed it. And of course, the DVD we're talking about is Let the Truth Be Told. That's Let the Truth Be Told. And we carry that. Of course, we also have other DVD we helped to put out called Is Your Drinking Water Safe? Or How Safe Is Your Drinking Water? We have 2 4 tape sets on fluoride. We actually have a talk I gave, and it goes with the syllabus. It's called The Hidden Agenda. And the syllabus I'm very, very proud of because it gives you so much information and scientific studies about this. And if you get the talk and the syllabus, why, you'll really learn so very, very much. Somebody had called in and asked about, you know, getting the fluoride out of your water. We actually carry something called the Berkey water filter, and here in California, you can get either the Berkey Light or you can get the Big Berkey across the country. We think if you're getting it to get the fluoride out, you want to get the Berkey Light, and there's special filters that you can put on that will take the fluoride out, about 95% of it. I don't know anything that works better, and we think it's excellent. And it's simply a gravity system. It's not that expensive, and it is a very efficient means of getting the fluoride out of your water. That's the Berkey Light. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, they are poisoning your children, and they're destroying their minds, and especially black children. Understand, this is a racist agenda. And, of course, this is why the HIV virus has a predilection for blacks. Did you know that? That's why in Botswana today, of the pregnant women, 46% now, as measured by your Census Bureau, which is down in Botswana, seeing what a great job we're doing spreading AIDS down there, 46% of the pregnant women going in, the hospitals there, and they're all going to the hospital and tested, 46% are HIV infected. That's either the most failed public health policy or the most successful genocidal policy. It was a failed public health policy. Why, you would think they would change it. But they're not. They're continuing. So we have to consider that it is a successful policy. Could anything be that evil? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're up against. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You really, of course, need to see my talk, Planned Population Reduction. Planned Population Reduction. We have a 4-tape set on population reduction. We have a video on population reduction. Or you can get what we call the Population Reduction Special. Information you need to have to protect yourself. And then, of course, if you'd like to know more about the Berkey Light product, where you can actually get the fluoride out of your water, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know about the health products, vitamins, minerals, things like that, the alibiotic, the various types of herbal antibiotic products, give us a call, ask for a health catalog. If you have not got a good supply of food in and you'd like to know about that, give us a call. We'll be glad to send you a food catalog. And we have this in material. We certainly want you to begin making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. And if you're not looking after yourself and your family, then you're part of the problem. You need to find out what they're doing. They're poisoning our children with fluoride. They're poisoning our children with lead, because if you have the fluoride, the hydrofluorosilicic acid in your water, why, of course, the blood level of lead goes up. They're poisoning our children with mercury and in the influenza shots, and certainly by putting dental fillings in that are laden with mercury. And of course, there's a definite relationship between Alzheimer's disease, between metal problems and high mercury levels, and we're giving the mercury to pregnant women in the first trimester, where it'll do the maximum damage. And if you doubt that, you need to see the excellent DVD we have by Dr. Ayoub, A-Y-O-U-B. That's simply on influenza vaccine. And then, of course, understand we're up against organized evil. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and for our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. We're on the front lines of the battle.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
afternoon. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe floating from the void of Yah's creation, it is Monday, the 20th of November, 2006. And guess what, folks? We talked a little bit about it on Friday, just before I went on the air. Yes, there was a video posted at YouTube, and it still is posted on YouTube, of the tasing of a UCLA student. It has gone all over the country and indeed all over the world, and people they've just about had enough of some of the brutality that police officers, not just in Los Angeles,